we're starting a new series today. It's not the prophetic. Look at the front of your teaching guide. Grasping God's word. How many think that's important to us?
Yeah.
If you're a Christian, you're a Christ follower, it's the most essential, important thing you can do. I always have to talk about this in some way, but I always amaze how many Christians I know, but they never read God's word. That'd be like, you want to grow, you want to be strong, you want to be healthy, you want to be the fastest, you want to be the strongest on your team, but you never eat. You never go to the gym. What are you going to do? You're going to atrophy. You're not going to do very well. I mean, you got to develop your spiritual muscle. And the only way I know how to do that is read the word, study the word, be grafted in the word, spend time there. So I like to go at this a lot of different ways. Of course, Don and I did teenage ministry for a couple of decades almost. And we love teenagers and families, and then it's been adults for the last 30 years, primarily, always. And we love that. But we want you to get into God's word. And so there's a lot of ways. Just the other day, Donna came home and she goes, I got a girl in my office, and she wants to know about a good study Bible. And Donna went back to work with all these Bibles that she's got, her favorite study Bibles, and she was able to sit down with her. And next weekend, I'm going to be talking about really how to read your Bible, and then how to study the Bible over the next few weeks. So we'll get into a lot of that. But today, I know you're going, Pastor, I don't even like this subject. How not to read your Bible. Now, I want you to, I don't say now, how to not read your Bible. That's not my goal. I want you to, I want you to read the Bible. But this is how not to read it. How many of you think you have read the Bible sometimes in the wrong manner? Now, I'm holding my hand up. Yeah, how many of you think you probably read it, and so I'm going to try to cover some ways. It's like a frog came in my throat. So here it is. How not to read the Bible. So as I get into that, we'll talk about many, many ways, a lot more than the seven on here. But I want to just say this. Why don't I read my Bible? I've often asked people, why do you not read the Bible? And let's not be rhetorical. Let's at the table, let's participate. Why would be a reason that you, or let's just say your friend doesn't read the Bible because you know the person. Okay, why would you not read your Bible?
They don't believe in God.
Okay, they don't believe in God. Okay.
They don't understand it.
They don't understand. It's too complicated to. Okay, that's a good answer. One of the other reasons we don't read the Bible.
Too busy.
Too busy. Okay. What's another reason? Okay. I just want to give you a chance. Here's one why I think Christians, people that mean well, church-going people, they tell me all the time, they go, I sit down with the Bible, and my mind wanders. And a lot of them tell me, I sit down with my Bible, I sit down with my phone. What do you think the problem is? The phone. They go there. And then, and I know you've got YouVersion, you got all these different apps on the Bible, and they're really great. But I don't know, if you just went to just read the Bible on your phone, and then somebody pops up a message, hey, you want to go to lunch? Hey, how about that recipe? Hey, you want to go to the movie? You want to do that? I mean, you just get all this information coming at you. So the best thing I found is, man, get the Word by itself, get a pen, highlighter, like that, and sit down and do what? And we'll start talking over these next few weeks about how to really get into that. But our minds wander. Here's one. Somebody go, I don't read because I'm not very awake. I got to drink 7 cups of coffee. Or I'm waiting on the coffee machine, the buzzer to go off or something, But you know what I know about Scripture from the Word? God beckons us. God calls to us. God waits on us to meet with Him. You think about how good it is when you meet with somebody. How does it feel when you meet with a friend? It's an embrace. It's a conversation. There's connection. And when you don't meet with them, hey, when you don't see a friend for a long time and you see them, you just go, this kid.
Disconnect.
And you usually give them a hug. If you're from the South, you're definitely going to give them a hug. And if you're from the South, what are we going to do with that? If you're from the South and you haven't seen a friend in a long time, what are we going to do? We're going to give them a hug. What else are we going to give them?
Buy them something.
Okay, I know you do. Pam, what are we going to do? They're from the South. We haven't seen them in a long time. What are we going to do? We're going to give them a hug. We're going to talk to them, be nice to them. And we're probably going to give them what?
Buy them something.
Yes. We're going to give them something to eat. Yeah, that's just hospitality. I mean, some of you are like, that's why I don't have any friends. I never offer me anything to eat. I came to church today to learn, man, I know how to grow friends. I just got to offer them something to eat. How many, It's funny. How many of you have stayed around somewhere a lot longer because they had good food? How many of you had left kind of quick because they didn't have much to eat? They didn't even offer me anything to drink. That's kind of ugly. Okay. All right. Listen to this. Isaiah. Write down Isaiah 55, 1 through 2. Not going to come up on the screen. This is just extra. I'm going to give you a lot of extra stuff. On the back side of your teaching guide today, I left you a lot of room for notes, but I want to give you this verse. Come, all who are thirsty, says Isaiah. Come to the waters, and you have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and you labor on what is not satisfied? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of the fair. You know what the Lord says? Delight in me. Come to my banquet table. Come to my feet. Come sit with me. And I'll tell you things that what? You don't know. And Lord, we're gracious that you do that. So sometimes we just struggle. So let me give you some quick things just to write in the margin. I think it's helpful today. Barrier to Bible reading is this. Number one, distraction. I know that's the thing that seems to get me. I get distracted. I mean, how many of you said, God, I'm going to run to the bathroom, and I'm going to come right back. And somewhere between the bathroom and the bedroom or the bathroom and where you go, man, you bumped into something, somebody called, you found something else to do, and you got distracted. Distraction, I mean, they're just everywhere. You know, people, relationships. We just, you know, they say this generation struggles with the ability to focus. How many would agree with that fact? You know, we have short attention spans today. How many believe that? You know, I preach pretty long here at the table, our format, because we don't have all the things we had at one time going on. But over the years, we've found, you know, at one time our services, they were hour and a half minimum. They go hour and 45 a lot. And then we went to an hour and a half consistently. And then there was a big thing we saw that we had to go to 75 minutes. And we did that for years. And that was kind of, for us and other churches, do like 57 minutes or whatever. And then COVID hit, and it really messed us preachers up because we got on the internet, and we had to teach through that stream, and we found out people got distracted. Anybody got a witness? And we found out we had to do shorter, so we preach less. So our services are shorter, but there's a lot of reasons. And there's a lot of reasons they're shorter because people just they don't sit very long. I mean, you got to so distractions come. So a lot of times in our own devotional time, if we're not careful, we get distracted. Unless we say, Lord, please drive interruptions from me right now. Okay, so let's keep going here. Barrier to Bible reading. Here's one. This is one you're not going to think about. Sometimes people call it dullness. They've lost their hunger. They've lost their delight for God's word. They get dull. They go, I already know everything. It all seems so familiar to me. How many times have you read the book of John? I cannot read how many times I've read the book of John. I cannot tell you how many times I've read the book of Proverbs. I cannot tell you how many times I've read the book, many books. I can't tell you how many times I've read the book of Leviticus. You want me to tell you? No, I can't tell you. I mean, I've read it many times, but it's not my favorite book. I just go ahead and tell you. But I read a thing that day about Leviticus, and I got kind of excited. There was this doctor, and he was so thrilled. He wrote this devotional when I was reading, and he says, I love the book of Leviticus. He goes, I came to faith because of Leviticus. I thought, about skin diseases? And you know what? And he ended up being a dermatologist, but he said, I came to faith because he says, I was so enamored with our great God, knew so much about skin diseases and about what was in there that I thought there must be a God. And he came to faith. And he says, and I realized that God knew so much more than we did, and he was already teaching me how to even help people with skin diseases. From the book of Leviticus. I never heard anybody come to Christ because of Leviticus, right? But you know, God, how many think every word of the Word of God is for a purpose? Amen. Yeah. Even the genealogies. Yes. When you read all of them, he began her, she began him, and you go, oh, my goodness. Okay, let's be honest. How many of you speed read when you get such a
Yeah, me
too. Now, when you dig one by one, it's amazing what's all behind that. But when you read it, you're like, huh? Like, you know, man, I don't want to read the phone book. But, you know, that's not even a good example anymore. Hey, Gabby, do you know what a phone book is? Gabby, do you know what a phone book is? See, I love it. I knew that was going to happen. Gabby just looked at me and she just shook her head like, huh? Gabby, there are these things about this thick And we used to have them, and that's the only way we got phone numbers. And you had to go to that book, and you had to look up people.
Oh, I thought you said a phone book.
Oh, you know what a phone book is. But then we don't even have phone books anymore, do you know? Okay, let me really split the church since I've done a good job already. How many do not even have a home phone today? Raise your hands. Help us, Jesus. See? I mean, they just kind of, the only reason we got one because we're cheap. And there's a bundle, and we got all this stuff cheaper because we bundled this, and we want one. But we have one because I have it for late night calls if y'all need me in case of emergency, because I cut my cell phone off about 9 o'clock. But you know who calls all the time? Marketers. Okay, all right. So dullness, how do you guard against the dullness of heart? Will you ask? Write down Isaiah 57:15. Listen to this. For this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Now, here's what I love. God desires to revive your heart. Do y'all believe that today? The Father wants to revive our hearts as his kids. And he revives his heart, our heart, through the word of God. You know, we always pray, revival, come revival. Revival's for the Christ followers. It's for us to be revived in our spirit, to be more dynamic in our witness. So, Lord, we're grateful. Here's another barrier, quickly, to Bible reading, deceit. So many people have been deceived into believing lies of the evil one. It's happening all across denominations and stuff. People have been deceived by the enemy, and they've quit believing the Word of God. It is time to run back to the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
We got to be true to His Word. So God's like, okay, so I got that for you. Here's another reason people don't read. They've been deceived. They say the Bible is boring. The Bible's not boring when you really get into it. Like, oh my goodness, man, it's full of life and joy and insight and wisdom and great stories and miracles and resurrections and you go on and on. Some people say, I don't read the Bible because it's got too many restrictive rules. Okay, how many of you think your parents had rules so they could be no fun and mean and their job was to make you miserable so you could hate them and move out of the house? You don't believe that. Why did your parents have rules? Why did your parents go, you cannot go out in the street and play, Keith? Because they hated me. They didn't like me. No, man, they don't want me to go there and get run over by a car. And God puts these rules in the Word of God. Because you know what God is? Write it down. God is the great protector. God protects us. And when we follow His laws, follow His precepts, we follow His principles, we follow His Word, we get blessed. So, Lord, we're grateful for that. Here's a quick barrier to Bible reading. Discouragement. You ever go through a season of spiritual dryness? Everybody does. And that's when you really cry out to the Lord. Hopefully in desperation, God, I'm dry. I'm dying. Lord, give me your word. Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, here it is. Here's some things that discourage you. Suffering, illness, chronic pain, depression, grief. You got anything you want to put in there? You got any more you want to add to that list? What does depression do to your walk with God? Sometimes if you're not careful, you kind of fall off. That's why you need a brother or sister. The Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. So one goes up and picks you up. That's right, because they want to help you. So Lord, help us to be a family of God that we don't get discouraged and we keep asking for your help. But I got to give you this great passage. You got to find this at the very top of that. 2 Timothy. One of the earliest verses I memorized. Dan, you memorized this verse, but I'm not going to try your memory. And fishers of men, back with a topical memory system. 2 Timothy, you probably did 3:16, but we're going to do 14 through 17. I want you to hear young Tim. Don't you like that Tim? That was his name. We call him Timothy, but he was Tim. But it's for you. Continue in what you've learned and have been convinced of, because you know that those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Verse 16. All Scripture, all. You know what all says in the Greek? All. Okay. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for four things. Listen to this. Circle in your Bible. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You want to live a holy life? You find time in God's Word. And you don't get too distracted and say, Lord. You see, Timothy, if Timothy could come on our stage this morning, he'd go, Pat, that Bible of yours, it's a generational book. It's written for all the generations. And Pat go, yep.
Yep.
He would. Pat go, I know it. Yeah. I know it, Tim. Hey, man, we're going to have lunch when we get through this Bible study. But, man, you're right. That's a generational book. Tell me something. Why was Timothy so convinced it was good? Because his mama and his grandma taught him. They were God. Do you ever read about Timothy Sr. and his daddy? Do you? I get Dan, do you think he was around? I don't know. I'm still looking for that Timothy. But you know, maybe he was. Maybe he was just kind of a quiet time. But man, grandmama and mama, man, they had that. How many of you are thankful for your grandmama and your mama? All the time, I have people, oh man, my grandmama, my mama, my mama's example, my grandmama. And that's no release for us, guys. We're to be the priests of our homes. We're to be leaders. We're to be godly men in Christ Jesus. But man, so many women have just had to take the reins and they had to lead because the boy sat down. So anyway, let's keep on here before I get everybody upset. Okay. So, scripture. Here's 10 mistakes. I'll give you these real quick to avoid when reading the Bible. All right. You read it too fast. You know, I got to be honest with you. I've been there. Man, got to have my devotional because the devotional today keeps the devil away. That ain't true. And you got to read it, man. God, Lord, you know, I'll go to hell if I don't read my Bible. So I got to read it. All right, done. I get nothing out of it. I shouldn't even waste my time. God wants us to slow down. Say, Lord, speak through your services. Give me ears to hear and eyes to see the truth of the Word of God. God, revive my spirit. Revive my friend's spirit. Speak to us truth today, Lord. Speak to me truth for the journey called life. Speak to me truth for the situation I'm fixing to walk into. Lord, speak to me truth about the situation I'm in right now. Lord, I need guidance. I need help. So, as I look there, sometimes we just get in trouble for that reason. We read too fast. Number two, we focus more on the things we don't understand. I'm not saying be ignorant. I'm saying study. We're talking about studying the Word of God in this series. But here, sometimes if we focus so hard about what we don't understand, we don't focus on things we do understand or things that He could teach us, and we need to keep reading. We need to read slow. We need to read diligently. We need to read with a fervent manner, but with an open heart. And say, Lord, speak to us. Here's the third. We try too hard to make it fit into our theology. I've met many people like this. They get a theology that just means a skeleton of what you believe. And then they make everything, they want everything to fit what they believe. That's not helpful. We want it to fit what God says. And you can take this book and you can take it so out of context and you can almost make it say anything you want to say. How many believe that? Let me tell you something scary. I want y'all to have a good Bible. Hardbound. I'm not talking about your app. I want you to have a good, solid translation of the Scripture. I want you to read it. I want you to mark it. And I want you to always know where it is. Because I think there's going to be a time that you're going to have to go back and you're going to go, oh my goodness. Because artificial intelligence, they can rewrite this book in about an hour now.
Oh, 2 minutes.
Oh, 2 minutes. And they can change and they can delete words. And we can go to Mother God and on and on and on and get out and start just taking the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you, there's going to be a generation that's going to grow up and they're not going to know what the Word of God says if they don't have a hard copy of the church said.
Amen.
There are translations that I've read over the years that they have omitted words today.
Man.
So I have to go back and say, when the copyright is of that Bible to make sure it's the one that I think really aligns with what God's Word says. You're like, oh, Pastor, I didn't know it could be so difficult. Well, we do have an enemy, and the enemy is cunning and crafty and deceitful, and he only wants to kill you. So God, help us to understand. Here's the fourth one. Apply the Old Testament law to your lives. That's important. But failing to understand that we live under a new covenant called grace. How many want to live more in the anger judgment time, or you want to live in the time of the grace dispensation of the cross? But the law is important. Do you think we need to come unhitched from the law? Absolutely not. The law reveals our need for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the law teaches us much. And I love the minor and the major prophets. And we need all, how many believe we need all 66 books of the scripture? Amen. There's some people doing it. I'm New Testament Christian. I don't adhere to any of that other stuff. Man, you have deceived yourself. Man, we need God's word. All right, here it is. So, I can just tell you so much here. Here you go. Here's another reason to message people up. They read out of a sense of duty that they've done something good. Have you ever believed that lie? If I just read my Bible, He's going to be obligated to be so good to me and answer every prayer I pray. No, He's good. And that's not why He gives gift. Do you want the gift or you want the giver? I hope you want Him. God, you're not obligated to give me anything. But you give me great things. You give me good gifts in Christ. But I trust you, Lord, for whatever comes my way. So here we go. Here's what gets you in trouble. Here's a wrong way to read the Bible. You just get your Bible out and you just go. Man, you just throw your finger in it. You just at random. You just flip it. There's no systematic way. Now, I'm not saying God. I do believe God can speak any way through His Word, and you can just read a verse whenever, and that's, you know, I guess it's better than nothing. But you want to read it with a plan in hand. How many believe that today? And we'll talk about some plans about how to get more into the Scripture. And I'm gonna really nail on one in a minute. But I'm trying to build my case to get there. So let me keep moving. Okay. All right. Here's the way people read. They read without a sense of expectation, without faith that the Lord will speak. Let me tell you, every time you go to God's Word, have an expectation that God wants to meet you and He wants to speak to you in the church setting.
Amen.
Do y'all believe that the Lord really wants to speak to you when you read the Word? I do. I long to hear His voice, and the only way I can hear His voice is to be still, shut up, be quiet, reflect, read, and come in faith. Because the Bible says God rewards those diligently that have a diligent faith. So Lord, I want to hear. God, I want my friends to hear from you. Hey, that's a new prayer to pray for your friends. Lord, help my friend to hear your voice. I mean, don't walk up to him going, you know, I've been praying for you to hear the voice of God. You're kind of mean. Oh man, that's a turn off. But just in your own time, you say, Lord, I'm just praying they'll have ears to hear your gentle voice. And that you'll speak truth to them. Because you know what happens when God speaks truth to a person? What happens? Conviction comes. When conviction comes, what happens next? Change. Just write it down. Conviction leads to change. And if you don't have conviction, then you do not change. So God, help me and my friends to be regenerated, but help us to be convicted by the things your word teaches us, that you impress on our hearts. Alright, just some other ways not to read. Don't read sporadically, you know, hey God, I'm just reading however, you know. I mean, how many of you would go home tonight, but you know what? You know, pastor come out today, I tell you what, I'm going to start brushing my teeth sporadically. I'm going to brush them Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. God help us in the church of God. I hope you put Sunday in there, okay? I don't want people to come up to me and got bad breath. You know what I'm saying? You don't brush your teeth sporadically. If you brush your teeth sporadically, what happens? Yeah, you get cavities, your teeth foul, you got bad breath. Did you know it's linked to heart disease? There's all kinds of things happen when you brush your teeth. It's just good for you. Oh, is important is dental. Where's Robin when I need her? Y'all get all over Robin. Say, Robin, we were talking about you. You know, you're in the hygienist. Because, you know, it's important for good oral hygiene, but it's more important for spiritual health. How many believe that?
Yeah.
See, you read it every day. All right, here's one. You don't read it in a random manner. That's one I talk about jumping around. Here's a good theological word. You don't read it isogetically. Like you have an exegesis means to exegete the scriptures verse by verse. Eisegete means to just kind of take one out and you impose on that scripture what you've already predetermined to decide what it's going to say. If we're honest, have any of you already determined what you wanted God's word to say? You just tried to find a scripture to match what you believe so you can live on that. Out of context. See, God wants us to read it fully. Okay. Here, have you ever read this? We teach kids this, and in the sense we do it, I understand the heart behind it. I want to read my Bible in a competitive manner. Like, hey, I've read more Bible than you, you know, and I can read faster than you. That's not good. We don't want to compete in that sense. Although, when I think back as a kid, I remember when they had Bible drill. How many remember Bible drill? You go up there, man, and you know, you have those kids, they flip that Bible so fast, and they could get there.
Sword drills.
Huh?
Sword drills.
That was it. And a bunch of Baptists in here is what we got. But it was great. I mean, it was a good tool. And do they still do sword drills anymore? I don't even know if they do them anymore. I don't think they're near as popular as they were. Probably because we got all these devices now. Go, wow, I ain't gonna do that. I can just see today going, let's have a sword drill, and they sit down on their phone. And that is not fair. I think about growing up in the 60s. If somebody walked in with a tablet, that would have been weird. Okay, let's just keep going. Don't read it so simplistic. Don't read it in a military way. You know what that means? You're trying to gather ammunition so you can blast people. I've met some people, they're just combative, and that's how they act like. And so I could go on and on different ways. But let me give you these ones. Get ready, Melinda. She didn't go to sleep. Melinda's back to sound, but she does a great job. She just raised her hand. She's still back there. Okay. All right, number one. You ready? Here it is. Wrong ways to read the Bible. With the warm, fuzzy approach. You like that? It's like you're just looking for a warm, fuzzy. Now, I suppose maybe the Father, he gives warm fuzzies. I don't know. But but reading the Bible from this glowing, subjective experience, this frothy kind of light and context, you just want to read out feel good. How many think we live in a culture like, let's just read it with a feel good. If it don't feel good, I ain't gonna read it. Let's love our neighbor. Let's love one another. Man, those are great truths. But if you never read about judgment and wrath and rules and regulations and all the rest, you miss a lot of what God's got for you. Look at the second. I think this one's funny. The grumpy approach. The grumpy old man. Look at this. I'm just grumpy. I mean, I think I'm talking about me, you know. And you read the Bible out of this vague sense that if I read God's word, he'll get off my back. That's a horrible way to read the word of God. I see my God as a loving heavenly Father.
Amen.
That loves me so much that he gave Jesus for me. And that he longs to hear from me. He longs to speak to my heart. And he doesn't want me to be grumpy. If you read your Bible and you come away grumpy, you go, man, what's wrong? Here's the third one. The rules approach. Some people just read for rules. How many rules did I break? How many rules did you break? Hey, I'm just looking for commands to obey. Well, that's good. You want to obey Jesus. But that's a pharisaical. You're a Pharisee if you just read just for rules. Like you're just, you know, some people are just made that way. They're so rigid. They just love rules. And the Jews were that way. And the scripture wasn't enough. They wanted to add a bunch more rules to lead their life. How many would love for Pastor Keith to produce a book and we live by the word of God and my rules for 2024? Oh my goodness, man. You know what that's called? Legalism. Run from it. But the rules of God are important, so don't let me minimize that. Here, let me give you this one. Here's one. It's an old movie. I think Pat likes this movie. Flip it up there. Let's see it real quick. The Indiana Jones approach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, I should have told you. You played that song. Here it is. That's the reading the Bible as an ancient document about events in the Middle East. And that you go, the Word of God, it's just an ancient thing. And it's irrelevant. It's boring. It doesn't really apply to me. Oh, it does. How many believe the Old Testament applies to you so much this morning? And God's word is for a purpose. It's eternal. And it's for the ages. And it's for you and me this morning at the table. So, Lord, here's the fifth one, the doctrine approach. You read that, so you basically plunder for ammunition. You want to be ready at Starbucks. You want to be able to attack your Christian friend and show them how smart you are. That is not Christ-honoring. But doctrine is teaching, and it's important to get that one. Let me say that. Here's number six, the duty rather than devotion approach. The duty rather than devotion. I read out of duty. I know I must do that because they tell me when I got saved, I got to read the Word of God. So it's duty. There's no delight. There's no love. There's no passion for Christ. And then Christ says, I want you to have devotion. See, you know what I learned? You don't earn brownie points when you read God's Word. Because you just don't. But you get His Word. You get His teaching. I think you get His favor. I think you get His blessing. You get some of His heart. So Lord, help us to have a devotion. But here's what I really want to, as I wrote down here, the question is, are you opening your Bible to earn His approval, or do you want to discover His grace? I like that. Are you opening the Bible just to earn the approval of God, or do you say, God, I want to discover you anew today. I want to find you fresh today, Lord. I want to find you the living, eternal God in my life. And look at the seventh one. And I'm going to pick on this. I got to do it quickly. The devotional approach. Did y'all look at that right there? That right there, I've got a sweet tooth. Donna knows that. But right now, them Oreos, king size, and oh, man, I'm telling you what, right now, I want to go get some. Look under your chair. There's no, they're not. That's, you know what that's called? The spiritual junk food approach. Okay, can we just be honest? And y'all, please be honest. How many of you love junk food? Yeah, okay, good. All right, do it this way. How many don't like junk food? Okay. And how many of you understand junk food? Just a little junk food pick you up? So you crash real quick, real hard, you know? Okay. Well, a devotional. Now, I like devotional. I do devotional every week. Pat, thank you, and so many, Lenore, so many of you. How many of you watch me on Wisdom for my walks I do every week? I've done 190 now.
190?
You know, God help the rest of you. Tune in now, okay? I do them every Wednesday, okay? And here's the deal. Devotions are good, and they give you kind of a quick overview. They give you like maybe a word topic. But if you're only reading the Bible devotionally, I like devotions. I read a number of devotions. I like them. But you never stop to read the Word of God, you are going to die of spiritual malnutrition. You're so into it. See, it's easy to read devotions, and I think they're good. But if you don't get into God's Word, you know, God's Word is holy. God wants you and I into His Word. He wants us to read the full context. And the church said,
Amen.
So church, I like devotionals. And some people have asked me, hey, would you publish your next book? You know, I thought about it. Would I make it a book about the tape? And the tape would be all my table devotions. But I don't know if I'll ever do that. And it'd probably just be some people's coffee table. But what I really want you to do is I want you to be in this book. I want you to read the Word of God. So sometimes even when I'm getting a pattern, I've read through the book many times. I read New Testament. I like to read over and over. I just love to read Scripture. But if I'm not careful, I'm getting a lot of devotionals and read little snippets of Scripture, and I have to make myself know. I've got to just go and get in the Word and mark up the Word and let the Word speak to me in context before and after. When I do my devotional 3, 4, 5 minutes, I'm only doing this. How many of you, did y'all know they didn't used to have verses and chapters in the Scripture?
Yeah.
We did that so we could find stuff. So devotions, I'm not telling you to quit doing devotions, they're good, but the devotional approach is like, it's like junk food. It'll give you kind of a quick high, but you want to get in here and everybody's like, I'm already mad at you, Pastor. Well, the devotion is a brief word of encouragement and exhortation. That's good. But God's got to do it. I mean, like if you got home for the next 7 days, and your spouse says, this is what we eat, and all y'all ate was chips and cookies, I'd be like, man, I like that house. Man, that's a fun house. But man, you would blow up, you would get really huge, you'd have sugar problems, you'd have diabetes, you'd have heart disease. I mean, you just can't do it all the time. You gotta say, hey, I need some vegetables. How many like vegetables? How many like salad? How many like meat? How many like, how do you know? That's exactly. How many like carbs? Well, did you know carbs are holy? No, they're not.
Manna.
Well, that was angel cake. Okay, all right.
The Lord said He was the bread of life.
He is. See, it's amazing how we justify what we like. He is the bread of life. You want to feed on Him. And I love some bread. My wife is on this thing right now. She's doing. She's making fresh bread. Oh my! It's amazing. And so we had some rolls from Sam's or from something we've done. And then she made this. And I told her that. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I said, those were good. They were better than the regular bread. I said, I'm going to throw them in the trash. She said, why? I said, because you made this good bread. And she sliced up. And you put that in the toaster. Oh, my goodness. You give glory to the King.
Amen.
But you couldn't just eat. You couldn't live on that bread. Well, you could, but it wouldn't be very pretty long. All right. So here lies the problem. Spiritual starvation. And so my prayer is, I want you to get healthy spiritually. See, we live in this soundbite culture. We want little bites, short attention span, and God's like, but I got more for you. I got 66 books for you. And when you finish those, I want you to read them again. And so today is kind of just setting it up. I'm going to really dig into this over the next couple weeks with you about grasping the Word of God. How many think we've got to get a grasp on the Word of God? That's why I did a prophetic series. I wanted to do those 7 weeks just taking you into prophecy and about end times. And I told you I'll be coming back from time to time, just touching on the end time of what's happening in Israel, what's happening, how I see it linked to Scripture. And that's important. And have any of you been looking at some of those websites I gave you about Israel? I gave you a bunch. See, not a person. Yeah, maybe the same. But, oh, some of you have. I praise the Lord. Okay. You're on God's good list. I can already tell. Okay. So devotionals and the Word of God and how important it is to us in our walk of faith. You just, I know sometimes when you pick up the Word, it's intimidating. I understand that. But just start reading. Today, we live in a day, this is where our age is so awesome. There's so many resources that you can get for free today that are sound. I'll be talking about some of those that can be an aid to helping you study the Word of God. Great study Bibles are great. They're still, you've got man there, so Scripture trumps man, and the church says.
Amen.
But there's a lot of, I tell you, David Jeremiah, did y'all know he's got a good study Bible? Did you know that? There's a lot of good preachers that have good study Bibles. There's a lot of great Greek scholars, and there's a lot of tools out there for us to use. Anyway, we'll dig into that going forward, okay? But why reading the Bible is so, so important. Because you know why it's more important than devotionals? It's God's primary way to communicate to you and me, the Word of God. And if I'm not reading the Word, then I'm not hearing all that the Father wants to say. And I know He wants to speak to this age in a tremendous way. You know, back to Timothy, he says He wants to teach, rebuke, correct, and train in righteousness. So Lord, we just want to have hearts that we start running to Your Word and we start trusting You for more. So let me give you this. This is just a little Bible trivia. I always thought it was kind of neat. There's 66 books in the Scripture. How many books are in the Old Testament? 39. How many books are in the New Testament? You're going, I say 66. No, I'm going to give you a quick day. There's 66 books in the Bible. There's 39 in the Old Testament. What is 3 times 9? 27. That's the answer. Isn't that neat? All these little things, man, I just pick up my learn. You're like, well, why do I want to know that? Well, it's just good to know how many books that got canonized. It's how many books that we have that we study called Holy Scripture. And we're not reading Apocrypha. We're not reading all these other books. We're reading the Word of God. Amen? So here's I want you to write down a question. What is Scripture producing in me? Write that down. Everybody write that down. What is Scripture producing in me? And we can measure that by the character and the fruit of the Spirit evidenced in our life. When the Spirit is working and moving, there's that fruit that is manifested that we live out. So, Lord, we want to show Your character. We want to show Your life to the world. And here's what I love about the Bible. The entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, points to Jesus.
Amen.
It all points to Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, our King and our Lord. So, that's our great hope today. Let's have a prayer together. We're just getting started. You ready? I mean, we're not going to get started. I mean, I'm going to let you go. You can go to lunch. You say, if you don't pass out some of that spiritual junk food, some snacks real quick, if Pam made some special things from her kitchen today, then we ain't going to be here another hour. Okay. Although I love what my friend Candace told me a few weeks ago. She goes, Pastor, you do so good on getting us out on time. She goes, in the church I grew up, yeah, we went to 1:30. I said, well, Candace, I said, that's awesome. I said, if I went to 1:30 next week, we wouldn't have anybody here. I've been conditioned. No, not I. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for the Word of Christ. Lord, speak to us. Lord, give us a hunger and a desire to really dig into your word starting today. Lord, give us time every day that we'll drive distractions away. We'll put our phone in the next room, whatever it takes, and we'll say, Lord Jesus, speak to me. Your servant is listening. In Jesus' name. Amen.